This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
1 week from Election Day, and as ballots are out, people are considering the issues, considering the candidates. We've got a couple more candidate interviews, and Joe Ray Perkins, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, on with us. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. Great to be here.
So for people who haven't heard from you in the past, talk about your background, maybe how you got interested in politics.
Okay, well, my background, I live in Albany with my husband. We've lived here since 1975. My background, financial services, banking, investments, real estate. I've worked in retail. I've worked at Oregon State University, insurance. The list goes on. And my interest in politics is something that I just really feel God put in my heart many years ago, and here I am.
So you've been involved in the Oregon GOP, and especially up in the Albany area. Talk about some of the other organizations, some of the things you've done with the GOP.
I was the ORP, the Oregon Republican Party Secretary, for 2 years, from 2023 to 2025, their two-year terms. For Linn County Republican Party, county chair for almost 12 years, delegate for many, many years. I've chaired a couple committees for the platform convention. I've been on the ORP resolutions committee.
And what led to you deciding to run for U.S. Senate?
Well, this is not my first time. I was the 2020 and 2022 nominee. And this came about by a lot of prayer, and I just feel strongly that if ever there is a year for Republicans and Oregonians to take our state back, this is the year.
So what do you feel like the top issues are that are driving your campaign this time around?
On my website, joerayperkins.com, I already have 11 bills that I will propose when I'm sworn in as U.S. Senator. Put this in context. Candidates don't write bills, especially if they've never served at the legislative level, but I'm not an everyday candidate. One of the top issues is to end our sanctuary status, and I have a bill on my website that addresses that. Another big issue is our veterans having to wait years to receive their disability benefits. The bill that I wrote for that, they would no longer have to wait. It would have to be approved immediately unless there is clear evidence that it was not disability related. And then I have another bill, which is another huge one, immediate wildfire response, which means that as soon as there's a fire on federal land, the state can send in the firefighters, no longer waiting for the federal government to give the okay.
And how did you pick those particular topics to work on the legislation already?
Those are issues that people have been talking about a long time. And as candidates, we have our palm cards. I use a brochure, and they're just words with no meat behind them. And this time, I just felt that I needed to really show that I know how to write legislation and put meat behind my words. And show the voters that I have multiple plans of action to get things moving and help not just only Oregonians, but help people around the country.
What do you feel like the reaction has been to your campaign?
It's been extremely positive. People are loving all the bills that I've written. I'm getting phone calls on a fairly regular basis from voters letting me know that they voted for me already. So it's been good.
And what do you feel like distinguishes you from others in this primary race?
I'm the only one that has actually been a two-time U.S. Senator nominee. I'm the only one that's run against Jeff Merkley. I've already started my my plan against him. I started that a few months ago. And after I win the primary, it'll pick back up again. And I will start showing major differences between Jeff Merkley and myself.
And whether it's Republican or Democrat, the odds of beating a sitting U.S. senator are really statistically pretty high. Why do you feel like that you could do it?
Because people are getting sick and tired of what is going on at the state level to start off with, which will reflect over to the federal level.
And what have you been hearing in terms of people's dissatisfaction?
We're being taxed to death in Oregon. People are, we're losing businesses, we're losing jobs. People are on the verge of, especially senior citizens, of having to sell their homes and go rent something because they can no longer afford the property taxes, or they're leaving the state altogether. There comes a time when people are saying we're taxed to death and we can't handle it anymore. And I think that this is the year that Oregonians have finally woken up across the political spectrum and just said enough is enough.
Do you feel like that it's going to be a bigger year for Republicans overall, or do you think each party might see some gains?
I think it's going to be a bigger year for Republicans by the time we get to the general election. I think there's going to be a lot of positive changes across the country.
And what makes you think that?
Job creation across the country, not in Oregon, is up. And that means a lot. I know President Trump has been working hard on getting industry to return to the states instead of us offshoring and outsourcing billions of jobs. So I'm very confident with that. Unfortunately, we live in an anti-business state, and that's where people are getting tired of what's going on here, along with the taxes and fees.
How much time have you had to be back in Washington, D.C., and, you know, just sort of observe Congress in action?
I have not been back there for many years. I can go online and watch them from the comfort of my office at home. I will be getting back there after the primary.
What do you
before they go on summer break?
What do you feel like the effectiveness level of Congress is at right now?
It depends on what they're working on. I'm not thrilled that Senator John Thune has decided to not push harder on the Save America Act. So I think that that's an issue.
And when you, if you get back there, when you get through the primary, if you move on, against Senator Merkley, if you were to get in to the Senate, you talked about the bills and all of that, but what are some of the ways that you feel like you could have an impact, especially as a freshman? It seems like from either side of the aisle going in as a freshman, a lot of folks have said it's pretty hard to get things done initially.
Well, it can be, but a lot of freshmen aren't going in with a plan of action already. My degree is in political science. I will be spending, after I win the primary, more time doing deeper dives. But with the bills that I've already proposed, again, most candidates don't do that. So I will be ahead of the curve when I get back there. And of course, once I win the general, these bills will be shared immediately. But they're on my website, so anybody can look at them.
Well, it's one thing to write a bill. It's another thing to get it anywhere, through committees, all that kind of thing. What's your background that would help you navigate that process?
I use something that a lot of people don't use, and that's just common sense and paying attention to what's going on the ground. Not being a career politician that's lost in the maze of politics, I'm out here with everybody else, and I see and I hear what's going on. So when I bring up things like our veterans having to wait years to get their disability benefits, and I have a bill that's going to give them their benefits almost immediately, that's a game changer. When I talk about our forest fires and rangeland fires and how we have to wait for the federal government to give the state okay to send the firefighters out and get on top of the fires immediately, that is a huge game changer. That's going to save billions of dollars, tons of timber and rangeland destruction, keep our airs a lot cleaner. So that's just, and then the sanctuary state status, people are okay with legal immigration, but we should know who's coming in. And so again, those are three of the top bills that have been very resounding with people, and they affect more than just Oregon. And I think there's over 15,000 bills in Congress right now. A lot of those bills are, what can I bring home to my state? And that is not my focus. That's actually not the duty of the Congress. Our bills should be affecting everybody.
Let's talk about a number of issues here. You've already touched on it a bit. Talk about federal forest management, a big deal in Oregon. What would you push for in Congress to be changed?
So we need to, if the federal government is not going to properly manage the forest, then they need to subcontract that out to either the state or to businesses that's what they do, and stay on top of getting those forest floors cleaned up. I'm not a fan of prescribed burns. They just did a few over in Central Oregon, and sure enough, they got not terribly out of control, but they got a little bit out of control. So that's a big deal in our forest. Is the federal government said, well, we just don't have the money to take care of it. But then there's money when there's a massive forest fire. So we have to be proactive.
What about the current Iran conflict, all the things happening around the world? What are your thoughts there?
My thoughts are that President Trump and his administration has information that we out here in the general public don't have. And he's our commander in chief. And I trust what he's doing.
What about when you look at America's growing budget deficit? Seems like neither party's really talking about that very much. What would you push for?
I would love to have single issue bills. I've been an advocate of that for many years. I'm one of these people that says if your bill can't stand on its own two feet, it shouldn't be passed. It shouldn't be you pass my bill, I'll pass yours. And I think that, again, we need to get back to the role of the federal government and stop being the piggy bank to everybody. We can't afford it.
Do you feel like we've gone way down a road that it's going to be hard to pull back from and ever even get to anywhere near approaching a balanced budget?
It's going to be tough, and it may be painful for a short while, but I believe we can get there. What's the alternative? We go bankrupt? That's not a good alternative. But we also have resources like our timber. We need to be out there cutting the timber. It's a renewable resource. And if it's properly managed instead of letting it burn up every year, there would be money that's going to be benefiting not only the state and local communities, but it'd be money going into the federal coffers that would help with some of this debt.
A lot of veterans in Oregon, up and down the valley. What are your thoughts on the federal role in helping veterans with the services that they're due?
When it comes to their disability services, that's the big bill that I wrote. When they're diagnosed, and they can be diagnosed by any doctor in my bill, if that doctor says it's more likely than not a service-related disability, they're going to get their disability benefits immediately. I also have a very wide-ranging bill for transitioning from military life into civilian life with the focus on slowing down and hopefully eventually eliminating the number of suicides from our former military. They have to have a focus and a direction.
And of course, in Douglas County, there's been a continued interest in getting a state veterans home in Roseburg on the VA campus. What's your idea there?
I think it's a good idea. We have too many veterans that need help, and there's a housing shortage to even help a lot of our veterans. We're building one here in Albany. It's only 38 apartments versus the veterans home in Lebanon, which is for more of a assisted living nursing home type of situation. And so we need to make sure that we have those services available for our veterans. These are men and women that signed their names on that dotted line, willing to give their lives for this country, and we owe everything to them.
As you're running here in the primary, how is the fundraising going for you?
The fundraising is going fine. During the primaries, I've never been one to raise hundreds of thousands of dollars. That'll come after I win the general election. Especially when there's seven candidates in the race, people are a little bit reluctant to give a lot of money to one person.
And how do you think it would go in the general in terms of the fundraising effort, especially against a longtime sitting U.S. senator?
Well, first, I don't believe it should take millions of dollars. I think that's absolutely obscene for any election to take that kind of money. I have some other views on that, but I will raise more than enough money just enough money to win this election in the general.
Have you ever been in the course of this race, ever looked around and wondered if you're doing the right thing, or are you real confident about this race?
I'm very confident about this race.
And why is that?
When I travel around, I haven't been to every county this time. That'll happen after the primary. But everywhere that I've gone, from Enterprise, Oregon, down to Coos Bay, Burns up to Portland, people are very thrilled with what I'm presenting. And they love the fact, again, that I'm showing what it is that I plan on doing when I get to D.C.
What do you think it would be like in D.C., the logistics of being a West Coast senator, all the travel, all of that involved? How would you navigate that?
Well, thankfully, I'm a night owl, so that's going to help working on East Coast time zone with the West Coast constituents. I was just thinking about that the other day. Let's see, midnight is 9 p.m. here. A lot of people don't make phone calls after 9 p.m., so we should be good there. I don't mind flying. I actually enjoy flying, so going back and forth is not an issue at all to me.
As you're running in this campaign, what's the reaction in terms of, I don't know how much connection you've done with others up in the Republican Party structure, some of the other office holders, what do they think about your campaign?
I don't really ask them. I'm running my own race. I'm running at a federal level. So I've got several county chairs and officers in the various Republican Party parties that really like me and support me.
And for people that are right now, a lot of people were kind of in the point of the week where the number of ballots being turned in starts to really ramp up. For people listening, why would you tell them that you're the best GOP candidate for this position?
I pretty much wear my heart on my sleeve. I am very firm in my views, values, beliefs. I don't believe in going along to get along when it comes to politics and going against the core values of what I stand for and what our Constitution stands for. I've never wavered on those facts. I'm very accessible. I'm one of the only candidates that's ever willing to put their personal cell phone number in the voter guide. So if anybody has a question, they can call me.
And if people want to find out more about the campaign, what's your website? How do they get connected there?
It's JoeRae, J-O-R-A-E, Perkins.com.
All right, JoeRae Perkins, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. Thanks for being on Inside Douglas County.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
1256 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 1230 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.